Believe it or not, there are actually people who do not listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. And that means we can say all the terrible things about them we want, because it's not like they're gonna hear it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what I'm thanking you for, to be honest with you. I have no idea. You should be thanking me. I don't understand this. I'm the one that's producing this thing and doing it, and all you have to do is sit there and listen to it, and I'm thanking you? That doesn't make any sense. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what we call it. We had other titles that we were considering, but they had nothing to do with me whatsoever. Well, thank you for your existence. I appreciate you. Welcome to the show. Are you hydrated? Have you been hydrated? Have you watered yourself? We're a society of plants for many reasons, but apparently we walk around all day hydrating ourselves. Hey, you know, instead of saying to somebody, you're looking like you're thirsty, you should be saying, hey, you're looking a little wilted. Don't you need watering? Seriously, man. We've become, the past decade, we've become so conscious of putting water into our bodies. Wow, it's been, wow, we have to stay hydrated. What's the difference between being hydrated and drowning yourself? Do you have plants in your house? Do you water your plants? We always forget to water our plants. It's very important. Without water, plants get wilted and they lean over and die. I don't think people necessarily lean over and die if they don't drink water, but you have to hydrate yourself. Doctors say, yeah, drink plenty of water. No matter what your disease is, or whether you're healthy or not healthy, you must have water. You've got to. Water takes care of every problem. Every problem. I'm a little depressed. Well, drink water. Drink water then. My leg hurts. I think I have arthritis. No, just drink more water. That's all. Hey, I don't know. My allergies, man. My nose is running. Are you having enough water? Do you have enough water? You're not drinking enough water. Stay hydrated. Hydrate yourself. Buy a watering can and continually make sure that you're moist. Are you moist enough? God, it's just weird, huh? Yeah, I have a bipolar disorder. Apparently, I've been diagnosed. They told me to drink more water. And I do feel better. I do feel better. I did kind of take care of that. The migraine headaches have gone away because I drink water now. Apparently, before I was drinking motor oil, which apparently was not good for my body. Now that I'm drinking water instead of motor oil, I do feel better. I must say, I do feel better. Getting less mileage, but I do feel better. Yeah, that's all it takes, man, water, no matter what your problem is. I lost my job. I can't pay. They're going to kick me out of the apartment. Drink more water, man. That's all. Just drink more water. You'll be fine. Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah. I'm the opposite of you in many senses. People go out of their way to make dinner arrangements. I don't know what that means. Hey, let's get together and have dinner this weekend. You want to go out for dinner? I don't understand that concept. I don't know why someone would actually make an appointment to sit at a table and watch another person chew their cud. I don't get that. I've talked about this before, but apparently not everybody listens to every show, so I don't know if you heard this. But I do find it quite odd that we go out of our way, we actually schedule to sit down at a table and watch each other chew our food as we're talking. I don't get that. I don't get that. Hey, Ron, let's get together. Okay, sounds good. What do you want to do? Let's have dinner together. No, oh no, 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 no. You have dinner, you eat your food, you put fuel in your mouth and chew it up, and then when you're finished, then we can sit down and we can get together. But not, why do I want to sit down and watch you eat? How do you find what? Well, Ron, it's a social event when we get together and we let's eat together in a public place. Why would I do that? That's a personal thing to fuel yourself. You put the food in your mouth, you churn it up, and you shouldn't be talking when you're churning your food in your mouth. Why would I want to be with you when you're doing that? You should be doing that in private. And then you go out and do things publicly. You don't eat in public with other people watching you eat. You think that's fascinating for me? Ooh, you know what? I'm going to have dinner with Mary and her husband, and I'm going to watch them eat. I understand they're fascinating when you watch them eat. They chew, and I love to watch them eat. I'll make an appointment right now. Why would I want to watch you eat? Why would I want to watch you put food in your mouth and consider that a social event? Why don't you come over to my house at 5 o'clock this afternoon? I'm going to pee. You can all gather around the toilet while I urinate. What's the difference? We can have a great conversation while I sit on the toilet with my pants down and urinate. You can watch me do it. What's the difference? See, I told you I was a little different than you were. Now, I seriously don't look forward to those things, you know. Anyway, I don't understand why putting your food in your mouth and having somebody watch you do that would be a point of enjoyment. I mean, I like food. I like to eat too, but I don't demand that you watch me do it. It's bizarre. Who came up with this thing? And what's with the Last Supper with Jesus sitting around a table with his friends? And nobody's sitting on one end of the table. I don't understand that. That's how you stage things for a television show. What is that about? Let's have a feast, but nobody sits on the other end of the table. Well, let me tell you something. As weird as that picture is, or that painting, Jesus actually had it together, sitting at a long table with other people, eating with them, but nobody's sitting on the other side, because who wants to sit there and watch people eat? Now, if you're real religious, you would say, watching Jesus eat, that would be a privilege. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Would not be a privilege. No, that's why no one's sitting on the other end of the table. They don't want to watch all those people eat. Come on. Come on. See, they had it together. That's a romantic thing too, huh? Yeah, yeah. You meet somebody, you know, I'm attracted to you. Let's go to a public place and sit at a small table, light some candles, and watch each other chew. Watch each other devour our food, put stuff on a plate, and let's just closely sit and watch each other put food in our mouths and chew it up like a cow and swallow it and maybe have a little gastric problem. Ooh, so romantic. Oh, so romantic. Yeah, I don't get it. That's something that you don't want to watch somebody do when you're first starting a relationship. That would be a red flag to me. A red flag. Why are the flags red? I don't understand that either. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't work for me. Does not work for me. Sorry. Doesn't work. Does not work. Thanks for meeting me here at the restaurant.
This is a beautiful place. It's lovely and it's romantic.
Yes, they have the candles on the table and a little vase or vase, depending on what country you're from, with a little one-stemmed rose. There are some roses with more than one stem, but this is a one-stem rose, and the lights are turned down just a bit.
Are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to put food in my mouth now. Here's a meatball, because I love meatballs. I'm going to put it in my mouth.
Oh, baby, that is too... Stop it.
I don't care. I'm going to put the meatball in it. See the spaghetti sauce and the tomato sauce? It's dripping out of the corner of my mouth.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, now I'm going to chew it up. Watch it churn in my mouth like I'm making butter. Look at the food going like you're watching a washing machine and the clothes being tumbled around inside. Look at that. Look at the meat being chewed and desecrated by my saliva. And now I'm going to swallow it with a big gulp. Watch my throat undulate as the food goes down my throat. Whoa, that was gassy.
Oh, baby.
I know. Now I'm going to put another meatball in my mouth.
This is fantastic. I can't contain myself. I'm going to eat my salad now. I'm going to stick the fork in a leaf and watch me put that salad fork full in my mouth. Oh, and churn it up.
Oh, I've never seen anybody eat like you.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm going to... Oh, look, salad dressing is dripping from the corner of my mouth onto my chin.
So sexy.
Wrong with us? I don't know. Obviously, I'm being a little overly dramatic and theatrical about it because that's what I do. But still, when you think about it, that's a weird ritual that we've gotten into socially. It really is. Now, having a glass of wine with somebody, that's pretty much okay. But churning food in your mouth while you're having a conversation, not okay. Let me ask you something. What's the difference between staying 6 feet apart, being socially distanced, and a restraining order?
There's no difference at all. One's legal, the other is a strong suggestion.
It's not like a judge says, you know, there's been a restraining order placed against you. You've been abusing this person and stalking them. And actually, rather than restraining order, I'd just like you to stay socially distanced if you could and wear a mask. It just, nothing makes sense anymore. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. If you haven't packed your bags and left town by then. Look forward to that or not, whatever. I can't tell you what to do. Well beyond that. Are you hydrated? Do you walk around all day with a water bottle? It's a little weird. It's a little weird, isn't it? It's strange. It's like you're an asthmatic and you have to have an oxygen tank with you all the time. It's, all right, I got to have my water with me. I can't. All right, yeah, we can go shopping, but you got to hold on. I got to get my water. I got to get a bottle of water. I don't exist without a bottle of water. Why don't you just dress like Jacques Cousteau and put a water tank, strap it to your bank and put a hose in your mouth? And seriously, man, got to stay hydrated. Come on. Okay. we're looking for to bring another dog into our house here, and dogs are expensive. They're a lot of money. They cost more than a box of cereal. Did you know that? I can't find a dog for less than $5,000, and they're not even great dogs. They're the bargain dogs. A good dog, a cute dog, 10 to 20 grand. What? Why? It seems odd to pay that kind of money for a life form. It seems like trafficking or something. Is like, isn't that human trafficking? Yeah, I got a great human for you. We're going to bring him over the border. $20,000. We'll get you a nice one. What? Isn't that prostitution? Isn't that prostitution? I know. I mean, I know you don't get a dog for sexual pleasure, but you are paying for a life. I mean, it's just kind of odd. Although, what's the difference between that and having a disease where you have to go to the hospital and have surgery? And that costs like $20,000 at least. What? I got to pay money for a person? What? Well, that's to repair them. That's different. I mean, it cost me like, it was like something like $8,000 to replace an air conditioning unit in my house. What? You can get a dog for the price of that. I don't know. It feels like something doesn't feel right to pay that kind of money to be able to take care of a life form. It's odd. It's just an odd thing. There's a lot of odd things going on, but we don't question them because they're just so cemented in social acceptance. We don't question that stuff anymore. We just accept it as being normal. That's not what I do. I accept nothing for being normal. It must be explained to me and it must make common sense, and very few things do. Oh my. I've talked about this before too. The spring and the summer is a problem for me because my lawn has to be mowed. I must take a machine to my grass and make sure that it's nicely manicured. And I do that, and then 3 days later, the grass has grown back, and my immediate response is, well, what the hell did I mow the lawn for then? Well, Ron, if you don't mow the lawn, then the grass gets too long, and vermin starts living in the grass. You don't want that. I don't understand it then. This is an endless problem. I don't like the winter either, because I live in a snow area where it snows. So I shovel my driveway, look out the window. 15 minutes later, it's still snowing. My driveway is covered like I never shoveled it before. There is nothing more defeating in life than undergoing doing something that caused you a great deal of toil and time. And then you turn around and it's like you didn't even do it. I don't like that. I don't like things that, when I do something and I'm finished, I like it to be over with. Things where you turn around and it's like, well, I never did it. It's like I never did it. Mowing the lawn, shoveling the driveway. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing things where I do it and then I turn around and it's like I never did it. I'm not doing those things anymore. It's like eating. I had lunch at 1 o'clock. Now I've got to eat again and it's dinner. I just put food in my mouth like 4 or 5 hours ago. Oh, that's right. I'm doing it for social purposes. I don't understand it. I don't understand anything at all. All right. My guest is coming up. Let's say hello to our guest. But first, before I do that, you know, this show is not free. I mean, I know it seems like it's free to you, but I need to make a living every once in a while. So we do have commercials, and I apologize for that, but they're important. So, seriously?
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hello, doctor.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Dr. Lushniak joins us now. He's in the American College of Preventive Medicine, and we're talking about something that we've been talking about for quite some time now, but in a little bit of different of a twist here. We're addressing the health inadequacies and inequities in underserved and minority communities, where their ability to be like everybody else is a little bit different because of their situation. Of course, with what's happened in the prior year, that became quite apparent, didn't it?
It really has. And, you know, I think what we've learned in this last year and a year and a half of suffering through a worldwide pandemic is really, you know, kind of a punch in the nose or a punch in the gut regarding the apparent health inequities that exist in our society. I mean, they've been there before. Mm-hmm. They continue to be there. And yet, in the midst of a major crisis like this, right, of kind of looking at a terrible disease spreading throughout the globe, how it inordinately affects different populations differently, yes. Right? And yes. Certainly our underserved, underrepresented minorities are affected. And then the services provided to those same communities, vaccination rates not being where we want them to be. So there's a lot of lessons learned in terms of a path forward about health inequities.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's talk about the term preventative medicine. I'm familiar with it because my doctor keeps telling me to be careful about things and, you know, take care of your health before something happens, which is different. When I was a child, we only did things once something happened. Kind of different now. Is that the preventative medicine that we're talking about?
It is. And I want to sort of remind your listeners, first of all, it is a specialty area of medicine. So preventive medicine is, in fact, a separate training path for physicians. Oh. There's roughly 2,000 preventive medicine specialists now in our nation. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it comes with sort of this change of philosophy. You're absolutely right. So I'm a physician. I'm initially trained in family medicine. I'm trained in dermatology, and I'm trained in preventive medicine. Oh. And my role as a physician is exactly as you described, right? It's seeing you, having a relationship with you, a doctor-patient relationship, as we've termed. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it falls into the realm of you know, us working together to treat a disease. Mm-hmm. So you come in, you have hypertension, I write a script, I talk about stuff that you should eat and shouldn't eat, et cetera, et cetera. Wouldn't it be better if our emphasis were on the forefront of this, which is, let's talk how we prevent you from getting hypertension. Let's talk about weight gain or weight loss. Let's talk about the idea of the proper foods to eat. Let's talk about exercise. So prevention medicine really is, I think, the 21st century concept. We don't get to illness. What we do is we emphasize prevention.
Yeah, that's what I'm going through. Sometimes, to be honest with you, I find it to be a bit annoying that my doctor is telling me how to live, but they're not doing that. My doctor's not telling me how to live. It's suggesting that these choices would make my life healthier and happier.
Well, you know, without a doubt, I mean, if you had a choice and somebody said, hey, listen, you can be sick or you can be well,
right,
wouldn't you want to know the pathway to be well?
Yes.
If in fact, you had a choice. Now, some diseases we have no choices over. Sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's... But, you know, the majority of the major problems we deal with in our society in terms of health outcomes are, in fact, preventable. It really is on the forefront. So with some effort, yes, with some life changes, right, we, in fact, now create a healthier human being, us, but we also influence our families and our communities in the same way. Now, wouldn't that be cool if we all worked together with the idea that we can actually impact hypertension, cardiovascular diseases. We can impact cancers. We can impact diabetes, right? All these things cost our nation a huge amount of resources, of pain and suffering at the end point, when in fact, had we worked hard at the beginning point, they would have never happened.
Right. Interesting. I'm a little confused about something, a little bit off the subject matter, because you're an expert and I have a chance to talk to you here. I'm a little confused about something. During the pandemic, a lot of people didn't go to their doctor's office for regular physicals, that kind of thing, even for screenings, which they really should have gone for, but they didn't, and everybody understands why. That's not the case anymore in most of the country. Everything's kind of gone to telemedicine, and I had a few telemedicine appointments with my doctor over a telephone screen. And I'm wondering, is it going to stay that way, or was that just the best we could do under the circumstances, but that's not good enough?
Yeah, I think it's the best we can do under circumstances. Certainly in the practice of medicine, we've learned a lot about telehealth, right? And certainly it applies in some circumstances. It may be, in the long run, a more efficient way, better for the person, you, the patient, better for me, maybe. But at the end of all this, what we really want to bounce back from is this underutilization of medical care. And granted, we've been through a very difficult time, right? Getting access to your doctor, coming in for those screenings. We, however, need to bounce back from that because screenings for, you know, the recommended screenings need to be conducted, right? And those are difficult to do through telehealth. And then things such as for children catching up on your immunizations, for required immunizations, even for adults, right? The shots that we recommend for certain ages need to be undertaken. And so we need to get back to routine medical care yet again.
Right. I mean, this, everybody's going to have to get a COVID shot every year for quite some time as they do the flu shot. I mean, this could be just a part of our regular annual system. Do you see that to be the case?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, still to be determined what's going to happen with the COVID vaccine, right? There's been talk about the idea we may need the annual boosters. Again, this is all sort of being determined as we learn more and more about the immunity that we get from the COVID vaccine and what the future of the various variants are going to be. But you're absolutely right. Right now, we do recommend, right, that everyone get an annual flu shot. Right. Well, that becomes part of a preventive medicine strategy. Right. Immunizations is our preventive medicine strategies. So what we have there is at least that contact with the healthcare provider.
Right.
In some fashion or other.
Right.
Now, throw in the idea that much like we have maintenance on our cars. Right. I mean, you know, we buy a car, we get our manual and it says, listen, man, at 20,000 miles, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Right. And we tend to do that because God forbid that our car go bad on us.
Correct.
Well, human bodies have a maintenance plan as well, and that's called preventive medicine.
I gotcha. All right. And my insurance is the warranty policy, I assume, under the circumstances.
You know, there's a lot of great metaphors out there, isn't it? But think of it. You know, we have a solid object we spent lots of money for that we maintain. What about our bodies? Is that not priceless?
Right. Well, yeah, like what would be more? Yeah, I get that. You know, I could talk to you for a couple of hours. I do have a few more minutes, and I'm going to take them, to be honest with you, because you hit everything in life. We're talking about inadequacies and social backgrounds, gun violence, because that's a health situation as well. We're talking about also, my God, in the past year has demonstrated that mental health can be quite on a teeter-totter board if you're not careful with that. And a lot of people did go over the edge, and relationships have suffered, and anxiety goes up, and that's a physical reaction. Stress. Who didn't have stress? Who didn't think about calling their doctor and say, I need stress medication? Who didn't do that? I mean, this is like entering into everything, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, I'm a real big proponent of a very wide definition of health. And in fact, it's the definition the World Health Organization uses. So what is that? First of all, it has a key adjective at the beginning. It has the word complete. So, you know, if I'm trying to achieve health, it's not like I'm halfway there is good enough. So it is aspirational, but that even makes it more important, right? And what is it? Complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And not merely the absence of disease and infirmity, right? You bring up the issue of gun violence, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is gun violence is a public health issue. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, it's a public health issue. Mm-hmm. And there are strategies of prevention that could be undertaken by our society to lessen the blow in terms of death, in terms of injuries, in terms of the traumas associated with that. Mental health issues, oftentimes disregarded, right? We put that saying, well, it's about your hypertension, not about the stress associated with it. Well, the reality is that we've seen in this last year and a year and a half in the midst of COVID, incredible amounts of stress, right, throughout all of our society.
Yes.
Substance abuse, alcoholism up, right?
Yes.
Opioid addictions up, death up, right? All this is interrelated. So this paradigm of the mind, the body, and the soul all plays a role in terms of our approach to health.
It has demonstrated it. I mean, we didn't have to theorize it about anymore. It played out. And that's what's most interesting.
And I think the key is, and the key is, what are we going to do about it? Now that we've learned, now that we've been slapped in the face with this, right, are we just going to go back to normal, whatever that was, or are we going to be progressive? And this is where the American College of Preventive Medicine plays a key role, right? We want to make sure that the lessons learned from this past year and a year and a half are now implemented, that we try to change our society to this prevention mode. And that's only doable if we have that connection with the individuals, with their families, with the communities, right? This is a grassroots approach to changing our lives.
How do we get more information about this? Because I think you've probably got some people here who want to know some more.
Yeah, you know, American College of Preventive Medicine has come out with a campaign called Power of Prevention. More information at the website, ACPM, American College of Preventive Medicine, acpm.org.
Great. Dr. Luchniak, you've been a thrill to speak to, and I appreciate it, and thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do this. I really don't. I don't know how you sit there quietly and listen to this stuff. I don't get it. But I will be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time arrives, and that would be like soon, I wish you peace. Okay, it's over. Go away. I'm sure you have other things to do, so just go do them.